All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 4. Special thanks to Josh filling in for Bob this week while he's on vacation somewhere in Georgia. Why anybody would ever want to go to Georgia, especially when Alabama's right next door. I don't know. But thank you, Josh. You did a great job this morning. Thank you for helping us worship this morning. John chapter 4, you'll remember 2 weeks ago, we finished the story of the woman at the well. Last week, Justin was here, and he preached from John 17, and I'm so grateful for Justin and grateful for his friendship and his leadership and the message that he shared. But if you go back in your mind 2 weeks ago, we were in John chapter 4 looking at the story of the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 3 tells us some context for today. So if you have your Bibles open to John 4, just glance really quickly at verse 3. That tells us that Jesus left Judea, and he was headed for where? Galilee. He left Judea and was headed for Galilee, but on the way, he had to go through Samaria, and there he stopped by Jacob's well, and he met a woman, had a conversation with her, and that conversation changed her life. She placed her faith in Christ, went back into the town, told everybody that she knew to come out to this well and meet this Jesus, and then you'll see in John chapter 4, verse 40, that Jesus stayed in that town for two more days. So Jesus was leaving Judea and heading for Galilee and made a bypass through Samaria. And today we pick up in verse 43. Verse 43, where he leaves that Samaritan town and he continues that journey that he started into Galilee in verse 3. In particular, he's headed to a little community called Cana. That should sound familiar to you. We talked about Cana in John chapter 2 when Jesus turned the water into wine. He's heading back to Cana, and when he gets there, he's introduced to a man who is in the midst of some incredibly difficult, some incredibly challenging times. This man's world is quite literally falling apart. His child is sick, and it's beginning to look like he might not make it. It's a desperate situation that this father finds himself in. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe the details are a bit different. But maybe you've been in a situation where it just feels like your world is falling apart. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you'll find yourself there in the next week or two. If you aren't there, if you aren't experiencing hard times right now, then I can promise you two things. Number one, you've been there before, and number two, you'll be there again. Hard times are just a part of life. Difficulty is a part of life. Listen to me, this book that we call the Bible, this book that I hold in my hand, is thousands of years old. And yet, in this book are pages full of wisdom and life application that we need to hear right now today in 2025. Listen, if all you see when you see the Bible is some dusty old religious book, then I pray that by the end of the day, you have a completely different perspective of God's Word. Because God's Word is truly sweeter than honey. It is true. It is truly richer than gold, and it is applicable for your everyday life. And today I'm going to show you how by looking at John chapter 4, beginning in verse 43. If you would please stand as we honor the public reading of God's Word, reading this story of a man, of a father, who is really experiencing some difficult days. John chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 43, and we're going to read down to verse 54. The Bible says this, after 2 days, he left there for Galilee. Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When they entered Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him because they had seen everything he did in Jerusalem during the festival. For they also had gone to the festival. Verse 46, he went again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a certain royal official whose son was ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and pleaded with him to come down and heal his son, since he was about to die. Jesus told him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." "Sir," the official said to him, "come down before my boy dies." "Go," Jesus told him, "your son will live." The man believed what Jesus said to him and departed. While he was still going down, the servants met him, saying that his boy was alive. He asked them at what time he got better. Yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him, they answered. The father realized that this was the very hour at which Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now this was the second sign Jesus performed after he came from Judea to Galilee. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for your word. I pray you would help us to see your word today. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom to know your word. Give us wisdom to apply to our lives right now, regardless of if we're in the middle of a hard time or just left a hard time, or you know all things if we're going into a hard time. I pray, God, you would use your word to minister to us, to meet us right where we are. And Father, I pray that there might be someone in the room, maybe many people, who don't know you as Savior and Lord. And I pray, Father, that today as they hear the gospel, hear the good news of what Jesus has done, that you would save their souls, help them to repent and help them to believe and save them. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Faith in hard times. What do you do when difficulties hit? What do you do when hard times come knocking on your door? Well, first, you should recognize that your difficulty should make you run to Jesus. Amen. Listen to me. Here's the promise of living in a broken and sinful world. You will have trouble. Jesus said that. John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. This world is full of trouble. This world's full of pain. This world is full of hurt. You want to know why we talk about trouble and pain and hurt so much on Sunday mornings? It's because the trouble and pain and hurt are the result of a sin-fallen world. And you and I live in that sin-fallen world, and we experience trouble and hurt and pain more than we'd like. We hurt. We suffer. And we hate it. And it's in those seasons of trouble and pain and hurt, in those seasons when your heart is broken, that you're faced with a decision. Either you can run to Jesus or you can run away from Jesus. Notice the story here in John chapter 4. In verse 46, we're introduced to some guy from Capernaum. We don't know much about this guy. We don't know how old he is. Maybe he's 20, 30, 40. We don't know if he's a Jew or a Gentile. We don't know if his name is Billy or Pete or Jack. We don't know much about this man. What do we know? Well, verse 46 tells us three things about him. Number one, he lived in Capernaum. For context, that's about 20 miles away from Cana, where Jesus is. He lived in Capernaum. His son was really sick. And by the way, verse 47 provides some context. It's not like he just had the flu. He was near death. He was really sick. So he lived in Capernaum. His son was really sick. And look, if you will, verse 46. Somebody tell me, what was his job? He was a certain what? Royal official. The Greek word used for royal official is basilikos. It means belonging to a king. That's what it means. If you read the King James, the New King James, your translation says that he was a nobleman. Most likely, this man had resources. He most likely had money. And if he didn't have resources and didn't have money, he knew people who did. He was a servant, a certain royal official. And he looks down at his son who is sick, and verse 47 says he's near death, and he finally hears some encouraging news. Look at it, verse 47. When the man heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee. Do you hear the encouraging news? What is it? That Jesus is near. That's the encouraging news. He finally hears it. Jesus is near. So what does he do? The end of verse 47. He went to him. Listen to me. Don't overlook that simple step of faith. Literally a step of faith. He went to him. He was in Capernaum, 20 miles away. Jesus was in Cana, and he began walking towards Cana. The royal official who had money, the royal official who had resources, the royal official who had connections with big wigs and top dogs, he didn't run to a king. He didn't run to the king. Why? Well, why would you run to a king when you have access to the King of Kings? and the Lord of Lords. Jesus was near, and so he went to him. Listen to me, when hard times come into your life, and they are coming, you are faced with one of three options. If you get on Rollins, where is Rollins? Help me. Is Rollins out here? Okay, you think I would know that by now. I've been here for 25 years. If you get on Rollins and you head due east and you cross the highway, has anybody ever driven out that direction? You keep driving and keep driving and keep driving, 3, 4, 5, 6 miles, and eventually you come to a T in the road. Highway EE ends, and you can either do one of three things. You can either turn your car off and sit there and don't move at all. You can turn left, or you can turn right. Listen, when difficulties come into your life, you can do one of two things. One of three things. You can freeze, do nothing. I don't recommend that. You can run in the wrong direction. You can run towards all of those things you think will help, the money, the resources, the connections, all those things that you think will help. Or you can run to Jesus. This man had access to people who could do things, but he ran to Jesus, and you should do the same. If you're facing hard times, that's your first lesson. Go to Jesus. And notice what he does when he gets there. This is a beautiful picture of prayer. Look in your Bible, verse 47 again. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went with him and, what does your Bible say? Begged. Mine says pleaded with him to come down and heal his son since he was about to die. He went to Jesus and he pleaded with him. He begged him. That word in the Greek, it means to keep on asking, to be persistent, to not give up. So it went something like this: Sir, you've got to come down to Capernaum where I live, because my boy is sick and he's near death. Sir, please come down. Sir, you've got, listen, hey, Jesus, you got to come down. Like, he kept asking and kept asking. Can I tell you, you don't plead with someone unless you're desperate. But this man in this story was desperate. He was pleading with Jesus. And initially, it feels like Jesus offers this really harsh word, right? I mean, here's this father who doesn't know what tomorrow will look like, doesn't know if his boy will be alive by the end of the day, and he comes and he's asking for Jesus to help. And Jesus, initially, it looks like a harsh word, but really, it's not harsh at all. Really, it's full of both grace and truth. That's who Jesus is, what he does. He offers fullness of grace and truth. Verse 48, look at what he says. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And I guess that's harsh. Can I put this in a different way? Here's what Jesus effectively said. I am not your genie. I'm not your genie that you can just ask for things and I blink my eyes and you get it. This is a warning. This passage, verse 48, is a warning to make sure that your faith is legit. Listen, if your faith is based on signs and wonders, well, then you don't have faith in Jesus. That's not real faith. One commentator said it like this. Maybe help you frame the context of what I just said. Here's what he says. Faith based on signs and wonders or miracles. Faith based on signs and wonders must not be mistaken for true faith, which is why Jesus does not encourage it. Faith based on signs and miracles fails to honor God, since by it, God serves us instead of us serving God. If your faith is based on that miraculous healing, what happens when that miraculous healing doesn't happen? If your faith is based on those signs and wonders, what happens when Jesus says no? If your faith is in the miracles of Jesus and not in the God who works those miracles, then you've missed the entire point of those miracles. So Jesus says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the man who was desperate gives it one final shot. Look at verse 49. Sir, the official told him, come down before my boy dies. Man, can you feel the desperate situation that he's in? And do you see what he did? He did what you and I should do when we find ourselves in a desperate situation. He ran to Jesus in prayer, a conversation with Jesus, and he pleaded with him. Listen to me, your difficulty should make you run to Jesus. But secondly, your faith can only be faith when it's paired with obedience. If your faith is not paired with obedience, then all you have is empty words. If I say that I believe this can hold me up, but all I do is say it, then I don't really believe this can hold me up. How would I prove to you that I believe that that would hold me up? I sit down. I exercise my faith. This man has just begged Jesus to heal his son. And look at what Jesus says, verse 50. Go, Jesus said, your son will live. And I want you to notice two things real quick, two things about this. I want you to notice what the man requested and what Jesus granted. All right, so check it out. Look in verse 47. What was the man's request of Jesus? Come with me. Walk with me 20 miles to Capernaum and heal my son. Look at verse 49. What was his request? Come down, leave Cana, and walk with me to Capernaum and heal my son. But what did Jesus do in verse 50? He said, you go. You go. Your son will live. I take you back to the cajon here. If I say I have faith, but I don't exercise my faith, then I don't have faith. The man's request was that Jesus come back with him. And Jesus said, no, you go. Your son will live. And you might expect the man to reply. If it were me, maybe I would reply something like this. Well, aren't you coming with me? I mean, I've asked you to come with me. Aren't you coming with me? But that's not what he did. Look at the end of verse 40, or verse 50 rather. Every eye on the Bible. Look at verse 50. It says, the man, what? Believed. How do we know that he believed? Because he obeyed. What did Jesus tell him to do? Go. The man believed what Jesus said to him and did what? Departed. He left. Jesus' very first statement to the man, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But not this man. Not the man from today's text. He didn't see anything. He didn't get a picture text. He couldn't FaceTime. He didn't see nothing. Jesus just told him, go. By the way, that word go is in the imperative mood, which means it is a command. Jesus was not suggesting he go. He was not requesting that he go. He was commanding that he go. Go, your son will live. And the man paired his faith with obedience. And the Bible says he departed. Listen, your faith is not faith without your obedience. Jesus said it this way. We heard this last week from Justin. If you love me, you'll do what I say. James said it this way. Faith without works is dead. The author of Hebrews says it this way. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. Hey, help me remember, Missouri is known as the what state? The show me state. You know where that came from? I'll give you a little history lesson. There's some debate, but most people think it was either popularized or came from a guy named Willard Vandiver. And I don't know this to be true, but I would guess Vandiver Road in Columbia is named after Willard Vandiver. He gave a speech at a naval banquet in 1899. And here's what he said in his speech at a naval banquet. Congressman Willard Vandiver, he said this, I come from a state that raises corn and cotton and cockle burrs and Democrats. And frothy eloquence neither convinces me nor satisfies me. I am from Missouri. You've got to show me. In other words, Congressman Vandiver said, your eloquent words mean nothing to me. You've got to show me. You've got to demonstrate it. You've got to show me. That's faith. Obedience must be paired with your words for it to result in faith. Pair your faith with obedience. This man, his faith was paired with obedience. He believed what Jesus said, But he didn't just say, I believe you. He departed. He left. And look at what happens on his return trip. I love this part of the story. Look at verse 51 and 52. While he was still going down, his servants met him. You get the picture, right? Jesus has left Cana. He's walking home those 20 miles to Capernaum. While he's on Highway 63 traveling up, he sees his servants coming down. And I would imagine they saw him off in a distance. And just the way human nature is, I would guess they started running as fast as they could. Look in your Bible. He saw his servant, or his servants met him rather, saying that his boy was alive. Can you see that? Hey, he's alive. He's alive. Your boy's alive. Verse 52. He asked him, what time he got better? What do you think? Yeah, about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, that fever left him. In verse 53, the father realized this was the very hour at which Jesus had told him, your son will live. Wow, here's a quick 24-hour recap, all right? Let's just pretend for a minute that the man walks into Cana on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and he's begging Jesus. And at 1 o'clock, Jesus says, go, your son will live. And let's imagine that he looks over at the sundial at that moment, and he sees, oh, it's 1 o'clock. Jesus said, my son will live. Now, fast forward, it's now Wednesday. He's going home. He's met with the good news. And he says, when did that happen? Oh, yesterday, about 1 o'clock. And if you use your mind's eye, if you look really close in this story, you can almost see the expression on this certain royal official's face. You can almost see the expression of this daddy's face. In my mind's eye, as he hears the news, he's already smiling. But then as he learns that it happened at the exact same hour that Jesus told him it would happen, oh, that smile, if it could get bigger, got huge. That's the same time Jesus told me this would happen. His faith was paired with obedience. He proved it. How? Because he did what Jesus said to do. Your faith can only be faith when it's paired with obedience. And lastly, I want you to see this. Your story will change the lives of the people around you. Look at the end of verse 53. Help me make sense of this, all right? So verse 53 says that he himself believed, along with who? Verse 53. His whole household. That's his wife. That's his son, his other children, his servants. Everyone who lived in his household believed. His story had drastically changed their lives. They went from unsaved to saved. His whole household. They believed because of this man's story, the details that they heard of this story, and they witnessed it with their own eyes. Okay, so now comes the elephant in the room. What happens when Jesus says no? I mean, this guy, he had a storybook ending, right? But you and I both know that storybook endings don't happen all the time. I believe that you should run to Jesus and pray. I believe you should plead with Jesus in a hard time. I believe that you should pair your faith with obedience every time. But there are times when the storybook ending turns into a bit of a nightmare. Have you been there? Where things didn't work out the way you thought they would? Cody and I, we are a part of a club that nobody wants to be a part of. Because we both buried a young child, a young son. It is a difficult club that nobody wants to be a part of. We both prayed that the Lord would heal our boy. Earnestly pleaded that the Lord would heal our boy. We did everything that we could. And neither one of us have this ending. Neither one of us can stand and say, yeah, man, that's my boy. But I can tell you this much. My faith and Cody's faith is stronger today than it has ever been in my entire life, and speaking for Cody in his entire life. You want to know why? Because our faith was never in the signs and wonders. Our faith wasn't in the signs and wonders. Our faith wasn't dependent upon God doing the impossible. That's the kind of faith that Jesus condemns here. My faith was never dependent upon my son being healed. My faith was always in the one who could heal. Jesus. I call that the even if faith. Like, even if my storybook ending doesn't come, yet will I raise my hand in worship. Even if my storybook ending doesn't come, I had determined a long time ago that as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That's faith paired with obedience. And to this day, our story, which is certainly not a storybook ending, is changing the lives of people around us. It's changing people's lives. How? Because God can take ashes and make from those ashes beauty. And in some ways, our story is the most beautiful storybook ending. Because our boy is home, Cody. He's home, eternally healed. He wasn't healed in this life. But our boy's home. So here are just three points of application that I want to deliver to you as we bring this to a close. Number one, you have to determine today that you will run to Jesus in hard times. Determine today, right now, that when a hard time comes, you're not going to run away from Jesus, you're going to press in. Run to Jesus. Open your Bible. Go to Him in prayer. Surround yourself with God's people. Determine today that you will run to Jesus in hard times. Number two, place your faith in the healer and not in the healing. You see the difference? That's the even if faith. That's the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even if we will worship. And number three, for the sake of the gospel and the glory of God, steward your story well. If the Lord brings healing to that which is broken, then praise God. You should. But even if He doesn't, praise God. And watch as your praise of God in the midst of the fire provides a testimony to the people around you and literally changes the lives of people around you. Maybe you're here today and you're like the dad in this story. You're experiencing some difficult days. Run to Jesus. Obey Jesus. Even if you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Do what you know that He said in His Word to do. Go to His Word. Plead with Him in prayer. Surround yourself with God's people. Run to Jesus, obey Jesus, and then steward your story well. Maybe you're like a member of this man's household. You don't know Jesus, but maybe today, through his story, you come to know Jesus. You've finally been introduced to Him. He really is the way, the truth, and the life. And He really is the only one who can save you. He's the only one who can turn beauty, or ashes rather, into beauty. He really is the only Savior and Lord. There's no other way. So why not repent? Why not acknowledge that He is the way, the truth, and the life? And repent of your sin. And place your faith in the finished work of Christ. And if you do that, according to God's word, you are saved. And then next week, be baptized. And then obey what He said every day. Pair your faith with obedience. Here's the end of it. In difficult times, run to Jesus. In good times, run to Jesus. He is our hope. And He is our shelter. He is worthy. And my friends, we are needy. Would you pray with me? Father, we have handled a difficult text today. Lord, I pray that through this message that You have been honored and glorified. Father, I pray that as we look at our own lives and our own broken lives, Lord, we do pray. I pray for those right now who are broken, that healing would occur, whether that's an illness, a relationship, a job, whatever it may be, Father, I pray for them. But even if you won't, even if you won't heal, then Lord, I pray that you would grow their faith, strengthen their faith. Father, I pray if there are those in the room who don't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would repent and believe and be saved. And Father, for the rest of us who do know you, I pray you would help us to decide today to run to you, to place our faith in the healer and not the healing. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be obedient to all that you've said. Help us to steward our story well, the story you have given us. Father, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.